The AccuWeather forecast says occasional light snow into this afternoon. Windy, high near 28. A winter weather advisory continuing until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Well, as of today, the Southeast Wisconsin operations and related corporate services of Wheaton Franciscan Healthcare are part of Ascension Wisconsin, which includes Columbia St. Mary's and Ministry Healthcare. Ascension and Wheaton Franciscan announced plans for the agreement back in October of last year. It includes Wheaton's Southeast Wisconsin region and 8 hospital campuses, 350 medical group physicians, outpatient centers, transitional and long-term care facilities, plus home health care and hospice. John Oliverio, president and CEO from Wheaton Franciscan, says this relationship will support our efforts in delivering high-quality, compassionate, and personalized care in the communities that we serve. Two-way traffic on Kennedy Drive in Kenosha should continue according to the Board of Parks Commissioners. They recommend against street parking and a separate bike lane, a decision that comes ahead of a resurfacing of that very popular lakefront road this summer. And there was a public hearing at the municipal building, several dozen people showing up. Over 600 folks responded to an online survey. Alderman Jack Rose saying that rejecting one-way traffic, well, that was a no-brainer. Having bikes off to the side instead of creating a bike lane also pretty much made sense.
I think going both ways is common sense. It really is. To avoid other potential traffic problems, I think there's an opportunity in the marking of the roads both ways that you can make an option. You can say this is for bikes as well as vehicles.
Before Kennedy Drive does get resurfaced this summer, Public Works is going to have to fix some of the additional damage caused with recent storm activity. Firefighters in Racine spending about an hour dealing with a reported fire in the exhaust system for an industrial building at 1925 Roosevelt Avenue on the city's southwest side. First arriving unit confirmed it was an active fire, but it was brought under control within about 15 minutes. Additional personnel and equipment were initially requested. Company workers from the office and shop areas safely evacuated. Kohler Arms, according to their website, makes skeet, sport, and trap shotguns. Big crowd in Mount Pleasant last night to hear about coyotes, getting tips on how to deal with them and asking questions about their behavior. DNR wildlife biologist Diane Robinson noting that most coyotes are just kind of passing through neighborhoods on their way to and from parks and other natural areas.
So you might have a coyote that travels through a backyard to get to another park, but they normally don't spend a lot of time in people's backyards. Now, obviously, that's not always the case.
Mount Pleasant Police Captain Tom Peterson noted it is not legal to fire a gun in the village east of Highway H unless you have a permit. West of Highway H, that's another story. An American transmission company of Waukesha is proposing a project to address an electric reliability issue when there are high power flows on the transmission system that's from Wisconsin into Illinois. It's called the Wisconsin-Illinois Reliability Project. It includes a double-circuit 345-kilovolt transmission line that would connect to an existing line near Pleasant Prairie and then connect that line to a ComEd transmission system through a proposed substation in Wadsworth, Illinois. ATC is going to be holding a public open house on this from 4:30 till 7 p.m. on Wednesday, March the 16th at the Thunderhawk Golf Club in Beach Park, Illinois. A winter weather advisory continuing until 2 o'clock this afternoon for the possibility of another 1 to 2 inches of snow. State Department of Workforce Development Secretary Ray Allen coming to Gateway Technical College's S.E. Johnson IMET Center, part of Career and Technical Education Month, highlighting and encouraging CTE programs across Wisconsin's K-12 system. At Gateway, Secretary Allen toured the facility in Renaissance Business Park, also participating in a panel discussion of high school machine tool operator boot camps. Those are supported by Wisconsin's Fast Forward Blueprint for Prosperity funding. Nearly 500 students at Park High School in Racine to learn about the dangers of using their smartphones while driving. That'll be a presentation tomorrow morning at the school. The students will experience the dangers of texting and other activities while they're behind the wheel firsthand with the use of AAA's Distracted Driver Simulator. They'll also watch a documentary produced by AT&T called The Last Text. It shares stories about lives that were altered or ended by someone's decision to text and drive. The same program has been presented before at several other schools in this area. Kenosha County Sheriff's Department still has a Deputy Friendly and a DARE program. And to help with that effort, Pullman Motors of Kenosha yesterday provided a 2014 Dodge Charger, part of a more than 20-year relationship between the two. The previously donated vehicle had lasted 9 years. Sheriff David Beth thanking Andy Pullman and his company for the generosity shown over the past 2 decades. The donation started out as a solid white car, but was transformed into a deputy-friendly DARE car with distinctive red and gray colors, along with graphics and lettering. All courtesy of Creative Designs, they donated their staff time and materials to the effort. A winter weather advisory going until 2 o'clock this afternoon for the possibility of another 1 to 2 inches of snow. Racine's Common Council will meet in Committee of the Whole tonight to revisit the previous decision that denied rezoning for a CVS pharmacy proposed at Washington Avenue and Ohio Street. Any vote tonight that would change that decision would still have to go before the full council. The committee is also scheduled to address 11th District Alderman Mary Land's request for a resolution that opposes the extension of what she calls disastrous trade policies. Today, more than ever, local governments have to find ways of being more efficient. That includes working together, which is something former Racine County Executive Gene Jacobson is now involved with as a director with the Local Government Institute in Madison.
There are 12 directors, and we look at ways that local governments, towns, villages, and cities, can work together to become more efficient in the way that we deliver services. That's by sharing things, by coordinating with each other.
Jacobson, during last night's meeting on Ridgewood, said the group just hired a well-known consultant for a long, hard look at local government heading into the future.
A 20-year study on what's going to happen to local governments, because we do not feel that within the next 10, 15, 20 years, it's going to look the same. And if you look back in your budgets, you talk to the county executive, we're not being funded like we used to. We're being mandated to provide services, but we're not getting the money that we should.
Jacobson telling county supervisors that looking at the future of Ridgewood is just one facet of county government needing review. County executives in Wisconsin now banned by state law from being elected to the state senate or assembly and keeping the county post. Governor Walker signing that bill into law yesterday along with 45 others. Racine County Judge Eugene Gasukevich has sentenced 17-year-old Kenosha resident Marquez Vines to 4 years in prison, then 3 years of extended supervision for his role in the November 2014 robbery of the TCF Bank on Douglas Avenue. Three others were also arrested and charged. One was cleared. Another got 7 years in prison. The third awaits trial next week. Kennedy Middle School in Germantown is closed again today. They had an electrical fire yesterday in their computer room, and it sent smoke billowing into half of that facility. Students were evacuated and eventually sent home. The fire breaking out in a bank of chargers in the school's computer room. One employee did suffer minor smoke inhalation, receiving hospital care. The damage is estimated at upwards of $50,000. And, of course, a lot of attention because this is Super Tuesday, the biggest day in the election process so far, about a dozen states holding primaries or caucuses today. House Speaker Paul Ryan today leveling some of his harshest criticism yet at Donald Trump, warning that the GOP presidential frontrunner must flatly reject white supremacy groups.
If a person wants to be the nominee of the Republican Party, there can be no evasion and no games. They must reject any group or cause that is built on bigotry.
The comments coming days after Trump failed to distance himself from support offered by David Duke and the KKK. Trump later saying he'd already spoken out last week. Meanwhile, it's anybody's guess whether Wisconsin's presidential primary is still going to be in play for Republicans in early April. That, according to GOP strategist Brandon Scholes.
It's impossible to say at this point. As each state has their elections and their caucuses and their primaries, I think you could start to see some things unfold, and maybe by mid-March we'll have an idea of where Wisconsin will be in the fray.
Of course, you have Donald Trump plus Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Ben Carson, and John Kasich all highlighting today's Super Tuesday voting, Wisconsin's primary still 5 weeks away. The Powerball drawing from last Saturday night produced two lucky winners from Wisconsin. One player purchasing a ticket worth $1 million in Marinette. The other, bought at Southport Pantry on 7th Avenue in Kenosha, is worth $50,000. Winners at all prize levels have 180 days from their drawing to claim their prizes. That $1 million ticket holder, though, with five out of the five regular numbers but not the Powerball, is going to have to make that claim in Madison. The ticket in Kenosha was four out of the five regular numbers and the Powerball. The jackpot for tomorrow night is currently worth $292 million. And Minnesota could be the best state for women, according to a new WalletHub study comparing all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Massachusetts follow the land of the 10,000 lakes. Wisconsin is number 8, Illinois 13th. Louisiana found to be the worst state for women based on all criteria. Our AccuWeather forecast coming up. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.